you know, we've experienced a lot of stuff. So I've burned with passion, and I thank God for a bride who's been walking this out with me.
So I tell you, I'd say 90% of the people that have taken the journey that I have taken have lost their wives. It got way too heavy for them. Because we went away from homes and all the nesting and the securities and, you know, and the career and everything. I ran an ad agency for multiple years in the Silicon Valley, making big money, walking away from that because I was tired of the rat race. And I felt gripped by this call. And I'm like, how do I do this, Lord? Because the call doesn't work in this current context, what I'm gripped with. But when I read the book of Acts, I get excited. When I read the epistles, and when Paul is addressing the church of Galatia and Thessalonica, you know, and you hear his passion like a father to like children, and how he laid his life down for them. And you look at Corinth, and you look at all the correction there, and I'm like, I get excited about these things. But I go ahead and I survey the modern day American church. And in honesty, I am hard pressed to find that level of authenticity and surrender and singleness of I for just Christ. And so I have decided to go there. And so we got a 30-foot trailer going across this entire nation looking for little pockets, little groups. Where's the burning ones that want to actually practice what they preach? I want to live this life of consecration, not because of religious duty, but because they're so ravished by the love of the Father. Looking for those ones. And I'll tell you the truth. I've been very hard-pressed to find. And again, I've been more of an idealist, and I have repented of that. So the Lord has given me a little something-something of being balanced. And I'll say this to you, mature Christianity is unrelentingly pursuing the ideal God-man with contentment in our current reality without apathy and indifference, and learn to live in the tension of here's the current reality going on, but my guts and my heart and my flesh and my soul, my spirit cry out for perfection in Christ. And I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Am I making sense to anybody?
Yeah.
So this has been the burnings from 31 years ago, and it has not stopped. So no matter how much man and religionists have tried to manage me and throw me in the box, the Lord, the Father, is highly jealous over every one of us. And I've not only jumped off the hamster wheel, I jumped up out the cage, and I'm out here wondering, what are we doing now, Lord? And you define what that is. It's called the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is about a king. Good thing he's a benevolent king. He's a loving king. He's a wonderful king. And that's how I define the kingdom of God, where there's a sphere and an influence where Jesus Christ has absolute rule on the inside and the outside. This is what we're going after. And I'm not waiting to die to get it. This is called the gospel of the kingdom. Why is it the gospel? Why is it the good news? It's good news because I have the great honor and privilege as a son to live the life of another. Amen. I don't have to manufacture it. I don't have to hoop jump and be a good religionist to please my Father, because we know the Son has always pleased the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So when we're hidden in Christ, Colossians 3, we are dead, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall be revealed, we shall be revealed with Him in glory. I'm feeling some spirit flow here. You guys all right with this?
Yes.
So we love the Lord, don't we? Yeah. We love the Lord. But I want to see some shackles and some chains broken off of us, because we need to get a pure perspective of how awesome, loving, wonderful, beautiful Yahweh is. So as I went after all of this, looking for this in community, because love demands an object of affection. So the Lord has never called us to live this by ourselves. He's always called us, I believe, the collective. How to live it in the community, the family. And my mentor said this to me as we were interpreting Scripture. I'm going to go here a little freebie for you guys. I love this. Because this right here has caused wars and divisions. Not because of the purity of Father's Word, but because of the warped thinking and the interpretation of many people over the years. So something needs to kind of change. And my mentor, who is also a theologian, he calls himself a radical grace preacher. And he defines grace as being the empowerment to live out the nature of Christ, not a hall pass to live sloppy. You feeling me on this? So, and he said this to me, Jeff, always take the Scriptures. Now, please get this. Take the Scriptures, because we get warped in our interpretation a lot of times.
Yeah.
And we're parroting what someone else said a lot of times. He said, you need to bring it into the context of a functional family with a loving father. In the middle of all kinds of dysfunction and things and the pain of life, we need to bring the Scripture into the context of a functional family with a loving father. That really helps
Old
us.
Old Testament, New Testament.
Yeah. And that's actually that is a theological term called Christocentric. Everything is brought through Christ, period. And so to expound on that, a functional family with a loving father. So we look at the Scriptures, even the hard ones, that can slay us and condemn us. Let's bring it in that context. We know when children are out of order, does not Papa, doesn't mean he's not being, doesn't mean he's being unloving. But he's going to bring some correction to the situation. Why? Because he wants to see an equipping of the young ones in maturity. Because they're, you know, and when they're equipped, they're able then to pay it forward to others as they embrace, you know, just what it means to be a responsible adult. That kind of makes you cringe a little bit. I'm a responsible adult. But there's life and joy in being responsible. There is no liberty without responsibility. So praise the Lord. So we ended up in South Carolina, York, South Carolina, by Charlotte. We have a 7-acre church campus over there. And we are wanting to prove this out that I'm telling you. Because I did not find it anywhere. The Lord said, I want you to pioneer it. I said, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know what I'm doing. The Lord has captured my heart. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
So I'm bumping my head. And you know, I got a lot of track record with my wife of real-time experience in multiple facets of life. But I'm looking for this place of unrelentingly pursuing the God-man. Perfect in all of his ways, sitting on the throne right now. And he sent his Spirit to live on the inside of us.
Wow.
And how this really works. And so I didn't see it. And so the Lord has graciously allowed us for the last 5 years to actually have people on campus, you know, praying daily, in the Word daily, worshiping daily, doing organic gardening, animal husbandry, doing construction, learning how to just function together and experiment. How does it work? I know I've broken people. And I don't know how to deal with some of these things, but I know the Lord has the answer. And we need to be willing to take risks and not just avoid the ugly things of life, because we don't create a safe harbor and a safe place for people to actually confess their stuff.
or to actually deal and process their stuff. And again, it's very, very difficult, guys. But this is what ecclesia is, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is the Greek word for church. You should all know that. Which means called out assembly unto Christ is what I call it. Yeah. It's unto Him. It's always unto Him. So it's a called out of what the cultures and the systems of men, the things that do not bear the nature of Christ, a lot of antichrist coming out of that and saying, we're going to assemble unto Him and learn how to be brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And how to be safe enough that we can have a bad hair day and not be dogpiled. and there's responsibility with all of us, you know, that because we're going somewhere. But we see the light at the end of the tunnel, which is fullness in Christ. By the way, that's the vision. That's His vision for us. His vision is fullness, Ephesians 4.
Yeah.
Okay. That we actually operate in the fullness of His inheritance.
Yeah.
It's the John 17 reality. Father, make them one as we are one. But what's so interesting about that passage, you read it, He gave some insight. He said, the world hates me. Because I'm not of the world will hate you because you're not of the world. That's the whole context. If we're trying to bring unity in the context of the cosmos, which is the world system, it will never happen. It's only around Him. He's the only one to bring that level of depth and unity.
Yeah.
Am I making sense so far?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So all that said, we've been pioneering for the last 5 years, you know, maybe 20, 30 people. Sometimes six people. And we've been doing kind of a, you know, trying to build a bridge to folks. Because people are so, especially in the South, it's very religious.
Very religious.
People are in these patterns and these ruts of life.
Yeah.
And it's generational.
So they know everything, but they spend their whole life in the world and then come on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they, you can't tell them anything because they know everything.
They
but
know,
yet
yeah.
you're like, you know everything, why are you doing it?
So we can get into the Word. I wanted to go to Ephesians 4 because I've been trying to experiment with how community works when I read the book of Acts, primarily chapter 4. It says they are of one heart and one mind. And I'm like, how's that possible, Lord? So I want to bring a little backdrop of what's interesting. We talk about the fivefold ministry a lot. And we talk about a functioning body from Ephesians 4. But rarely have I heard the backdrop preached.
Got it.
So here's the interesting. Here's Paul. This guy is in prison.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he says, and he takes that, it's like the old saying, you know, you take the lemons, dealt you, and you make lemonade. So he says, I'm a prisoner for Christ. But we need to have some alertness, just a sobriety of like, what's this guy about to say? Because he's paid the price to deliver these words to us by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And here he is in prison, really, for insurrection. What was the insurrection? He proclaimed another king. What are we doing in our generation? We're crying about our politics instead of being ones who are ambassadors in their kingdom. And I won't go there.
Yeah.
But Lord, have mercy on us. But I'm one who will proclaim the singularity of a king high and lifted up. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen? So here he is for the same message of Christ being preeminent. Paying the price for it. And what does he say? Read that to somebody. Read verse 1. Who's that? Is it going to be you, Noah?
I'll do it. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called.
Okay, let's stop right
there.
That's
so good.
I talked to you earlier about calling. I told you a little bit about my journey. I feel gripped by a call.
So the view said in a manner worthy of a divine summons.
Yeah, divine summon. Yeah, it's a divine call. It's a grip. There's a certain prophetic configuration the Lord has designed every one of us to be, and He's putting a demand on it. He's putting a summons on it. Okay? And I want to talk about it. So here's this guy in prison. He starts talking about calling. You need to pay attention a little bit because everyone in this room has a call. Mm-hmm. And it behooves us to know what that is. And that's what ecclesia is supposed to be. And I mean, let me go ahead and do a commercial break for a minute. Vision is where we're going. You guys understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So all these scattered visions really is, I don't believe, from the kingdom of God. There's only one vision. What is Christ's vision?
Right.
And his vision is singular. That word, you're going to hear it often from me. We look more like him. Period. So right. All the gifts and callings and configurations in Ecclesia, the church, goes to one place. That we're all rubbing on each other. We're all brothers and sisters working with each other, maturing and growing, being conformed to the image of Christ according to Romans 8. Amen? So, he starts talking about this. So, the vision is fullness by conformity to Christ, and the mission is how we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and look to your neighbor. And say this. You are the mission.
You are the mission.
You got that?
You got it.
Talking about a powerful honor and responsibility. This is not a light thing. The church, ecclesia, not some facility somewhere. Right here, the living stones, the people. We are the mission. Don't ever forget this, Miriam. That you are the mission and you're incredibly significant, and we need you to understand the calling by which we're called. And what I will define that as is know your identity, know your configuration, and only Papa can give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the mission, the ecclesia, is how that is matured. As we're working together, dealing with hard situations together, you know, we're growing together. Amen?
Amen.
So the very next verse, he points out four crucial ingredients of walking out this call that every one of us in our uniqueness must embrace. Who's going to read verse 2?
I will be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
So let's go ahead and chew on these. So every one of us have a responsibility before the Father. Now I'm going to say this to you. Whenever I come to a congregation or among the saints of God, I am going to emphasize what we're talking about must not come from a place of deficiency. So I'm going to go ahead and pause right now and let you know how important you are. But there is some incongruencies in our lives. Our behavior sometimes goes way out here and our identity is here. How do you deal with this gap? When your identity is like, I'm loved, I'm a daughter, I'm a son, and I'm totally secure and complete in Him. I am His righteousness. But I'm having a bad hair day. Or I'm having an attitude. Or I'm struggling. Or doubt and unbelief is hitting me. I mean, I deal with some major things, guys. Impatient and frustrated. I'm like, God, how do I deal with this? This is where ecclesia comes in. But if we don't have a safe place to deal with the gap, we're going to be dangling out here trying to masquerade. I call it charismatic cosmetics. We're trying to dress our stuff up. Instead of coming right down to the ugly place, like, Lord, I am struggling right now. Mm-hmm. And God is invisible. The Word says He's Spirit, right?
Right.
I mean, a woman at the well. It says He is Spirit. Therefore, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, right?
Right.
For such the Father seeks. You want the Lord seeking it? Yeah. Be a worshiper. That's a commercial break there,
sorry,
too. Come right back in. So there's four attributes that every one of us, well, there's more, but in this passage. This is before the fivefold ministry. He's saying this as a backdrop before we start talking about the apostle and the prophet. the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher and how they're equipping the saints and the unity and... If we don't get the backdrop, because every one of us called, number one says with humility. And I promise you in real time, especially with leaders, if there's not humility, you'll get no traction for life. It has been very, very difficult on me. Because I love Cain. I love the body and I want her to function. But if we don't have humility to be able to actually, the word says, prefer one another either even higher than ourselves, whoa, where's that at? It says it in the scripture. We need to deal with those incongruencies. Are we really humbling ourselves? The word says, submit one to another as unto Christ. What? I thought I'd submit to the pastor. I thought the bishop's the top dog. Submit one to another as unto Christ. So the submission is to Christ. So when I see Christ in you, sister, well, you see the woman. She's got my teacher, man. What? So let's go ahead and cut off half the body and cut off half the grace because of gender. Again, remember I talked about when we interpret Scripture, we must interpret Scripture. I've debated people that are scholars because I am a strong proponent of women functioning in their grace. I don't care about gender, but I care about humility. And by the way, if you guys want to know theologically what it's talking about, is not being usurpitous. Not bullying and dominating and controlling one another. But that same across the board for men and women. Another commercial break for you guys. So I'm going to go there because when you interpret Scripture, we interpret it from the perspective of a functioning family with a loving father.
But most people interpret it through a Western mindset. They don't interpret it through a Hebrew mindset back in the day and how they believed and what they understood.
Yeah. Right.
We interpret it through our mind and what we think in a Western mindset. And you can't interpret a Hebrew, you can't take the Hebrew mind and what they meant and who they're talking to and throw it 2,000 years later into a Western mindset. And that's why we have so much
weirdness. We're goofed up, guys, and that's why we must reconsider things and come back to the spirit of truth. And that's why we also need ecclesia to have a safe place to even chew on these things, even the things that are doctrine. You know what doctrine means? It just simply means teaching. You know, we want sound doctrine, right? So we want sound teaching. And so in order to get sound teaching, always bring it through the context of a functioning family with a loving father. And I believe you'll find something life-giving in that. Rather than just having doctrine that bludgeons one another and we're like in sword fights all the time.
Yeah. And fathers don't tell their daughters to shut up all the time because they're women, unless they're Muslim or something.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into all that stuff. I just simply say that I'm a strong supporter and just released. My wife is graced.
Right.
I mean, she is very prophetic. She knows that she has a gift of the discerning of spirits. It's uncanny.
She does.
And she knows what's going on. So what? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and cut my arm and my leg off because of some gender issue. That's foolishness.
Right.
So, I mean, my goodness, Philip's daughters prophesied, and that was actually public. Uh-oh. We got an issue. If we want to draw, you know, like staunch boundaries and this legalistic approach. So let's forget about all of that. And let's just simply say, whenever we go through any of this, let's bring it in the context of a functioning family with a loving father. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So number one, humility is very, very important. And that just simply means there's a teachability there. We don't have to be know-it-alls. And we can have real conversation. We may not even agree on things, but we're having discussion, not necessarily debate, hopefully. And hopefully the right heart is behind it. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he talks about, in my verse, he talks about meekness. Now, meekness is strength under control. Let's go back. He's talking about our calling. Okay? And he's saying,
as you're walking out the calling by which you're called, this summons. Father designed us and configured us in a certain unique way designed for one thing. Are we being conformed into the image of Christ, experiencing fullness, and the ones around us are the same? So we're paying it forward always. We're always others-minded. Because the greatest enemy beyond the devil is that of ego, that of selfishness. I tell you, that self-consumer, that self-preservation, that is the greatest enemy. And so in Ecclesia is how all that stuff's worked out. It's called picking up your cross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, there's a lot of good stuff going on here, Lord. I thank you for helping me be focused. So meekness is the second thing that we all need to walk out. And meekness means strength under control. And I mostly have to embrace this. Because there are certain people that are configured to be more type A. They're overt. They're expressive. They're not shy. They're bold. They communicate. And I have to take that strength, bring it into control. Or somebody who's a boss. And they could actually fire you. Or say some pastor who could rip you a new one. And they choose meekness when they have actually the authority and they have the wherewithal to dominate. But they choose not to because they honor you and they honor the Lord in you. Meekness. Is that making sense? So he says, as we're walking this calling out, we need to have constraint to us. And I'm telling you, I'm really asking God for that because there's so much deposited in me, I have to literally use constraint. I'm giving you guys tip of the iceberg stuff of what's been deposited. And I'm hoping I'm doing all right. Am I all right with you guys? I'm really trying because there's just so much information that hopefully you guys will get understanding with. So I'm trying to reiterate and bring clarity because I could be talking all day long. It's an exchange of noise. There's no understanding. So I really, my desire is that we have understanding. Mm-hmm. So we have understanding of the information. It may be good, solid information, like sound doctrine. But here's the key, or the desire, that we have appropriation. That's how we apply it to our lives. Okay, so this is the word becoming flesh. Okay, so meekness. Number three, he says here on verse 2, he says, long-suffering. What in the world? In the Greek, that means suffering long. Okay, how many of us know that we have to kind of suffer long if we're in community and not just doing the Sunday? We all could behave ourselves for 2 hours on Sunday. We really can. I'm talking about, I've been all over the place, and there's different flavors.
Some people can't even behave
themselves. Right. Of how they do church.
I know. So the community, they would be just a mess.
Long-suffering is so many things in life.
Mm-hmm.
So many aspects.
It's usually, my mentor told me long-suffering is usually with relationships. Yeah. Patience is with circumstances.
Exactly. Kind of interrupting. That's it. Yeah, exactly.
So he's given us long suffering and patience are the fruits of the Spirit. And the blessing.
Obviously, I know it.
I love that.
I get it.
So our long suffering is we don't just cut bait and run from each other. Because if I really love you, sister, and I'm in community with you, and say you're having a bad hair day, can I see beyond the bad hair day and actually be an instrument of his peace, an instrument of his love to see the other side of that? Where there's more fullness experienced. Exactly. Because when there's more fullness experienced, not only are you blessed, I'm blessed.
Exactly.
Because you're designed. Every gift is to be given. Amen?
Amen.
We are gifts to each other, not to be hoarders with it.
Yeah.
Right.
So if I could see, Mary, if I could see Jonathan, I could see my wife, you could see me, get the other side of our goofy hang-ups. It's just carnality, guys. Mm-hmm. That's being baited by Lucifer. But what if we speak life into each other? That may be corrective at times. But if we have enough humility to receive it, we'll get to the other side of it. And what's the end game? We're looking more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome? It's not only individually, but collectively. So the third one is long-suffering. We have to work with each other. And if we think there's any other way to accomplish this, I would admonish all of us, think again.
We can only do it through the cross.
This is the prescription of God for maturity. It is the body functioning even in the ugly stuff.
Yeah.
Not building a monument around our hang-ups, not building monument around our sin or monument around our flesh, but calling it what it is, calling people out of that into true identity.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's good.
So that's why long-suffering is necessary, and that is the cross. Because look to your neighbor again and say this, brother, you're my cross.
Brother, you're my cross.
And I thank God for that. For God has used you to bring discipleship to me.
Brother?
Yeah, I go that way over there for sure.
Can you explain that around, what that means?
You and I will walk together, brother, and I guarantee I'll give you an opportunity probably within 7 days to be offended at me.
Right.
Probably about 2 days, because I'm very boom. I mean, I really love God and love people, but yet, you know, it's like, you know, I can be directly too. And I'm not, you know, and that's one of the designs, because I don't want to be confrontational, but I'm like, wait a minute, something's out of alignment. It's exhorting me.
Yeah.
And it's like, something's not looking like Christ here, and instead of being passive with it, I'm like, what's that?
Right.
It's not looking like Christ, or even inviting that into my life, because I need this. Yeah. And I'm trying, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Okay, because we need to handle people different ways, depending on how they're configured.
Right.
And I'm learning. You know, the Lord gave me people just through this last 5-year experience to be a cross.
Then you might challenge you back, right?
What was that?
Then we might challenge you back. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Like today, you know, challenge that.
Yeah. The Lord told me it was about 2 years ago when I had, you know, I had people actually on the campus with us, okay, doing life together. Mm-hmm. And I was incredibly frustrated because I felt like a total failure. So I'm like, well, what's going on? No matter. I'm talking at this level. I'm doing the best I can to articulate the heart of God. And so it's like in one ear, not the other. I don't know what's going on. But 2 or 3 years of it. We've had 1 day so far. It makes about a half an hour, 45 minutes. And every day that went by, I was like just like more and more frustrated. Like just losing my patience, losing my long-suffering. And incredibly frustrated. And I'm honestly just pretty angry. Because I'm giving my best. And I'm not seeing the reciprocal of it. It became a cross. When you're loving with all of your guts and it's not reciprocal to you, and the Lord is checking you on it.
Yeah.
It's really for Him. And the brother said it on Sunday. It's about pleasing the Lord. So if it's about the Lord, you're not worried about what people say or think or if they approve of you or not. But yet the Lord said in that whole time, He says, I have customized your discipleship program by the relationships I bring to you. I'm going to say it again. I've customized your discipleship program by bringing you the relationships.
Yep.
And it told me, and honestly, I just need it. Because I have been a high achiever guy. I did it in business, do it in ministry. Let's go hit the streets. Let's take the mountain. We're going to conquer this thing. Yes. And you're dealing with broken people.
Yeah.
Who... You know, and I assumed a lot of things.
Right.
What I assumed was people were actually honest with what they told me. It was not honest.
No.
I say I'm this, and I have this level of maturity, me and my gullibleness, like, okay, that's what it is. You said it. So now I'm treating you at that level.
They can't handle being treated.
But fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you wait for fruits of the Spirit?
But they can't handle.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I don't know your situation.
Well, this is my gullibleness. This is my maturity.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going by what they're saying.
Yeah, right.
And as time went by, I'm not seeing the fruits of the Spirit.
That has happened.
You know, I'm born again. I'm after transformation, the kingdom of God, the singularity of Christ, His lordship. And yeah, we're having a great conversation. Now we're in real life. And I'm like,
But yet, this is what the beautiful redemption is. The Lord's always redemptive. All things work together for good, as love Him and call Him according to His purpose.
That's right.
And that is the truth.
Amen.
We always win, saints. We really do.
Yeah.
Is He was using what they were dealing with in their brokenness to disciple me.
Right.
Don't you love the Lord?
Yeah.
So we always win.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. That's not a hall pass for the other individuals.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But we commend them into the hand of God. But we're hoping when someone says, I am hungry, and I will be willing to be teachable, and I'll humble myself, and I understand your role and my role. Because I cannot dominate and lord over people. That is forbidden of the kingdom foundation. He says, in the 22nd chapter of Luke, when they're jockeying for position, around verse 23, and he said, hey, time out. You guys competing with each other? Trying to dominate each other? He says, the kings of the Gentiles lord over their subjects. See the difference of mindset?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and their benefactors want to give all the benefits, with strings attached, by the way, are their authority. And he says this, but with you it shall not be so. And he says, the younger shall be the greater, and the one who does serve shall be chief among you. So upside down. You know, people talk about, you know, the hierarchy. It's actually an upside down pyramid.
The lower.
So leadership, the apostolic, grace, the one that's foundational.
Yeah.
It's really about the body is building on their back, and usually by their death, usually through their suffering, usually through them paying the price because they have so much love for the saints.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle Paul is a great example. Peter's a great example. Look at the apostles. Every one of them killed for this thing we call precious. Except for John, he was definitely persecuted.
Yeah.
Boiled in oil, put in the Isle of Patmos. So another little commercial break. You guys are at the commercial break.
That's so funny. I love it.
Commercial break.
So back to
break.
Point here. This all illustration in real time, my own life and my own vulnerability of this thing, long suffering. And the Lord is teaching me of, and this was so beautiful about the Lord, is He never comes with condemnation. But there really is something He offers us as we're maturing. Do you want to go the easy way or the hard way? I'm going to say it again. Do you want to go the easy way or the hard way? Because you don't get His way. And I much rather agree with Him quickly. I much rather humble myself and choose meekness and choose long-suffering as I'm approaching just how I handle myself, how I handle others, and how I handle my walk with God. Now the fourth one that He says here in verse 2, I don't know if I can get on over to. We get a lot of a couple of verses here, aren't we? Because I've been chewing on this, is He says, bearing with one another in love. Let's open that up for some dialogue for a minute. What in the world is Paul saying, number four, as we're working out this call by which we're called, with bearing with one another in love? Why do you think he said that?
He is love. So if you don't, I mean, it's like you could, I feel that word bearing, it's like almost kind of having a weight on you. I kind of get the picture up, kind of like telling Andrew, like, if you had a backpack full of bricks, it's like bearing that, but it's not out of, like, oh, you know, why is this on me? Why do I have to do that? Kind of like carrying your cross, you're bearing something, you're bearing a cross. You know, there's something that's on you that you're bearing, and if it's, like,
if, I mean, I think of, there's people, moms in other countries who, like, when revival, or not even just for a revival, for to get food, they need to bear their kid on their back so the kid doesn't die by other tribes or whatever, and go 5 miles for food. That's out of love.
That's awesome. It's a very, very insightful.
So that's what I think about is, like, you're doing it for their benefit, understand, like, you're bearing something, there's a weight there, but it's like, you, there's a reason why you're doing it, and it's for their benefit.
That's very insightful. And one thing I want to put a little caveat here as well. This is like a warning. It's like we need to go to the Lord. I call it assignments. Because there is just different levels of relationship. This is how it is. That's just how life is. Is know who your assignments are. Obviously, your wife is your assignment. You're in the deepest covenant that's on this side of eternity. That's supposed to represent Christ and His bride. Right?
Right.
So we know there is assignment there. And the child that's on the way. And whoever else you have yoked up with. Or joined together with. Okay? That you're able, because of love, you're able to bear some of the nonsense. Not the call of nonsense. But love helps us carry the load to hopefully have them cross over or mature into really the redemptive design or the calling. You know, and we need, so what I wanted to say is if these, and I will encourage all of us, find in this local area, if it's right here, my challenge, go to another level with it. Or whoever else God brings here, because this will be the meat and the potatoes of your life. Is caring one for another in this kind of a tight-knit situation. You know, and there's always room for deeper levels of intimacy. Is that true?
Yeah.
And as you go there, so I'll tell you, I've been here for about four days now, and this family specifically is under some load. They need help by love to bear it.
Yeah.
I know from personal experience. Okay, we have some track record. Okay, this is what real ecclesia is. But we think it's just going to be... See, we've cheapened love. Mm-hmm. We've cheapened love to be entertained on Sunday. And I get my Jesus buzz on. It's very narcissistic in nature. Yeah. And I'm going home to live my life.
Yep.
It is not the kingdom of God. It is out of order. It's very much antichrist. I'm going to go there very poignantly. And you guys are used to it. I heard Curry's a very heavy hitter. So I can go here. And I'm hoping you're feeling the grace and love out of my heart too.
Yeah.
But it's very narcissistic in nature. So in this setting, let's not cheapen love, which is going to include bearing some load. But if we don't have love, if it's not real, we need to go to the Father with it. Say, Lord, I want the real stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am a desperate man, because the word says faith worketh by love in Galatians 5:6, I believe it is. So we want, you know, the word says it's impossible to please God without faith, right? Well, how does faith work? By love. Who's the author and finisher of faith? According to Hebrews 12, it is Yeshua, who is love.
Yeah.
So it all comes back to Him, doesn't it?
Right.
And so what we're talking about here is we want the authenticity, the real stuff, and not cheapen how valuable you guys are to each other, and to have managed expectations. Okay? I'm not saying not having expectations, but managing expectations. Because if you're expecting someone to be squeaky clean, and now you go to another level of community and you realize you see some blemishes that you bear with one another in love.
Mm-hmm.
Not to coddle that, but to mature through that.
Like right now we have someone living with us in our apartment that we're just helping, and we talked to him about like, if there's not a desire to grow up into Christ, there's people who want their life to change, and we're going to have to politely ask you to leave in a month, because there's someone that's willing to grow in Christ. Like, we don't just want to house someone to house them. Great, you have a place to stay. You can do that anywhere, you know? There's shelters that do that. Yeah. But if you're going to come into our house, I want you to be able to grow in Christ. So I'm wondering, like...
Have you laid that all out there before?
Yeah.
Yeah, so is it in writing?
Some people just want to stay where they're at. They don't want to.
And that's what I'm wondering is...
I've dealt with this firsthand, brother, and there's a time he's got to go ahead and say, you know, love you, brother,
But after repeated communications, right. It is absolutely
it's
okay
just not a right fit.
To say,
right.
You know, this we need to change. What I said to some people, I mean, we had to just do this recently. Doesn't mean I don't love you. But we are changing the context of this relationship. Okay, because this is not working. In other words, load was laid on them that was a mismatch to their capacity.
Yeah.
And so it was just, there was no, just the fruit of it was not kingdom. So I just had to make this decision literally 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And what it, but what happened, I had to do an emergency flight back home to deal with all these things.
Oh.
You know, when you're going out there doing the work of the kingdom, you know, the enemy's always doing tricks. You know, so we have to. But the whole point is, this is all fresh for me,
right.
Yeah.
And it is very difficult.
Tricks, court reels.
So yeah, it's doing some trouble. So the point being is, when you feel like your virtue, like a vampire, is sucking the virtue out of you, you've got to consider that before the Lord. Say, Lord, what is this? Because if there's not a shalom on that, remember the Word of God says it talks about, you know, be anxious for nothing.
Right.
But in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your mind, right? When you start seeing that waning, it's like, this peace is waning. What's going on? That's usually my monitor. And I've learned the hard way. I want to do it very quickly. Because the moment we have a candid conversation, giving them a fighting chance, I've given like dozens of chances to the place now I feel like the entirety of my blood and the marrow of my bones was sucked dry. And I'm way out of my grace because I'm trying to believe. But yet we can't force other people to make decisions. We can give them a fighting chance. But if you feel like it's sucking the peace out of you and
you
come into a place...
Okay, you have to either be because God is okay with them right there where they're at. So you either have to be okay with them where they're at or know that you need to change the context because it's not flowing with your daily life of what you need in your life. So you have to know that they're not going to change their context. So, I mean, you need to know what you need to do in that situation.
Because I think there were so many people who wanted to follow Jesus.
Some people are okay where they're at.
Yeah. There were so many people who wanted to follow Jesus. But he's like, no, if you want to follow me, then you need to do this. And so
he did.
Right. So there was a lot of things where it's like, it wasn't he wasn't just looking for like, whoever wants to follow me, come and like, I'll take you in. He's like, no, like, if you want to follow me, you need to lay down your life. If you want to follow me, you need to love your brother. And if you're not going to do that, like, get out of the line because there's people that want to.
Yeah.
And that's who I'm going to start. And not that his love is like more intense for the other person.
Whoever it is moved in, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they were talking about.
Well, I guess it's just all. It's not even just with him. I'm just thinking. I just want to make sure. Like
wisdom says, before you even invite somebody at that level, that all of the terms are set in writing. Okay, and so it's no longer you being a bad man. Or you're just not even a Christian. How dare you handle me? Because I'm telling you, it can get really ugly. You see, you go back. No, let's go to the paperwork that we talked about here. Remember this here? I mean, it's really sad that you have to go there. But we're so dysfunctional. We're trying to be part of the solution in the middle of all this dysfunction. And this is just a way to save your peace. If they expressed up front, I want to go after conformity to Christ. No problem. I'm here for you. The moment that shifts and you have one conversation, two conversations, three conversations, that's a lot of grace right there. You're out of here, Jones. Mm-hmm. Love you. It just has to kind of be clinical like that. Unfortunately, this is in real-time experience. I wish I would have done that instead of having 36 chances. Mm-hmm. And now I'm way up in the flesh, ready to pull my hairdo out. The mighty man of God, totally frustrated because I did not follow the counsel I'm giving you right now.
Right.
So you're a lot more mature than I am in that. I can see you have a lot more patience. He's a good man right there.
Figuring it out. Figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the next one. I know we have a lot of stuff to go, but let's go to verse 3.
What I wanted to say, because...
You want to continue with that?
Well, there was just something that he said that I kind of wanted to highlight, because a lot of times, even us, where we have to really be honest, is we say Jesus is Lord, but are we really, in everyday life, acting like Jesus is Lord? If Jesus is Lord, are we going to follow him when we don't want to? If Jesus is Lord, are we going to get rid of something we don't want to? If Jesus is Lord, are we going to go somewhere we don't want to go because he tells us to go? Is he really Lord, or is he just something we've just added on to our lives? We're going to do our life, but see, I have Jesus. I'm a Christian. You know, it might be a few, you might have made him Lord in a bunch of areas, but then there's a couple that you're like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not. And those things is just...
And the Lord's after those things in our heart. And that's where the ecclesia comes in.
And that's what someone else thinks is Lord for your life. You know before God your stuff. Everybody stands before God alone by themselves and knows their heart and knows where they're coming from. But, you know, it's just...
And it's proved out in community. So verse 3, who wants to read that? Okay.
Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means put some effort to, some energy, work at. And here's the deal, I'm going back to your case. If all hands are not on deck, we have a problem. And I'll give you a vision that I got, again, I shared with the people that were in community with us, okay? Because I really was trying my best. And I think there's some really good fruit that's going to come out of this. I really believe that, but it has not been easy. So we actually have proved out, how does this work in real life, like a 24/7 dynamic for a few years? Who else do you know that actually has done that?
What,
like actually living together intentionally, 24/7. Reading the Word together, praying together, worshiping together, working organic gardens, dealing with the, you know, sustainability and construction and gatherings and outreach and all the fun things as well. I mean, it's all fun. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, like barbecuing and picnics and, you know, and the kids running the field and all that good stuff, right? The whole enchilada. We went after the... How does this work?
Like the Mennonites, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have a great respect. They have a revelation of community, I tell you. They really do. So, and I believe it's all kind of a foretaste. It's kind of a, you know, a precursor to what I believe God is going to be doing.
Did you say picnics?
Yeah, picnics, the whole nine. I mean, everything.
This guy's first in line, then.
Yeah, Yogi, man. Yogi's going to get it.
Well, the kingdom of God is at hand, and it means all those things. Don't forget, it is fun.
Father is a full of laughter, joy, and fun. Jesus shows.
All of it.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Like you're dealing with the
love and joy.
Well, so how many people are you
living? Well, the people that actually lived on campus, we had probably about a dozen people on campus living together, very intentionally. And then, you know, we had like gatherings on a weekly basis. We probably had like maybe... You know, maybe 20, 25, maybe 30 people, sometimes a half a dozen.
They all live in the same house, the same kitchen, or do
we have
the
tent? We have a campus.
All over the campus.
Yeah, there are different spaces on the campus.
But they don't have
then every day we met in our living room like this.
So they had their own house with kitchen stuff that they met together.
Some of them did,
yeah. Wait, now I'm getting the picture. That's what I meant. I didn't mean like literally this is what y'all do. You're living like campus. You live on a campus?
It's like a campus.
Yeah. Okay. So then people live together and whatever, wherever, but they live together and do what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. We're trying to work.
I get what you're saying, but I was just a vision of how y'all are doing that. That's really awesome. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Cody has the vision, like the two of you know have this.
Well, that's how we should be doing
it. Yeah, that's how we should be doing it. You heard of Pythagoric?
Yes.
There's a lot of people who are having that vision too.
Because the Lord is
The Lord is ready for that to have a full. I mean, that's how it was in Acts.
Yeah.
They were doing everything together.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. I think it should get to the point. It's like
But only the beginning.
Right. No, it is. There's these little microcosms because the Lord's hand is on this.
Yeah.
We're kind of like a forerunner of how do we actually get in the mess of it.
Yeah.
Not know what we're doing, but we've learned some things for some future purpose. So the Lord has called us to be church planters, but not in the current construct of what we see in American churchianity. It is not that. Remember, everything is in the context of a functional family with a loving father. I love that my mentor gave that to me. Yeah. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So if we're reading scripture, we're like, does it work in this context? We better examine that.
I went through a really hard time for a period of that. Mm. Like, loving my father because some things that happened in my life. And going, I went through a really hard time going to church I was involved in, not feeling that fatherly love. The concept of that when we talk and talk about things. Like, we're his delight. He's our father. He loves us so much. You know, everything the scripture says about him being our father. And it's really not talked about much in the churches about the father.
It's huge.
Jesus, but not the father, like our father's love. You know?
We have such a fatherless generation.
We do, I know.
Yeah. Generation.
So yes. And so.
And it's like only if we understood that Jesus is the seen image of the father.
Right.
You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that is really, really, you know, he's the one that put a face on God. You know, he is, you know, he is God in the flesh. And we thank God for that because we have not only an example, or what I was talking about earlier, about just the, you know, unrelenting pursuit of the ideal God-man, the man still on the throne, right? Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm. But not only are we pursuing him like a bullseye, he's actually in the journey with us, living it through us. I love that. No other religion. Islam is about performance.
Right.
Buddhism, about performance.
Yeah.
New Age, about performance. I mean, it's all about performance. All these cults, you know, you got the Mormons, performance. Right. You have the Jehovah's Witnesses, performance. You got the Catholics, performance. You have Protestants. We're celebrating 500 years of the Reformation. Still a half-baked Reformation. It's still based in performance, but our doctrine is not by work.
We got Protestant popes.
But we're so mixed up, guys.
Yeah.
So we're in this goofy place, and he says, no, I'm going to come live on the inside of you and perform through you. I love the Lord. And so what is our responsibility? So our since we don't have to worry about performing to please God, he loves us eternally and perfectly, what is our responsibility as we conduct our lives every day? Anybody know?
Surrender.
That is us working with God.
Yeah.
Surrender, like yieldedness, cooperation. That's the working with God. He's not, and I'll say this to you guys, our Father is not a rapist. He will not force himself on us. So he wants us to yield or cooperate or walk with him. He's not going to force himself on us. He says, I have life for you, and that more abundantly. Cooperate with me. Or go ahead and bow up and get stiff-necked and stubborn, and then we'll handle you. Go the easy way or the hard way. What do you want to do? You're going to come alive. But I believe maturity is that we actually cooperate. We yield. And the word is, and I'll sum it up with this, because this is what is key about verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need each other, guys. If there's one of us, and I was going to say this earlier, if there's one of us out of sync, I'll tell you a vision. I was talking to the community where I was at. I saw like a vault had this combination on it. And those are called tumblers. And what I saw in this vision was each one of these numbers represented like an individual. One member in the body, right? And the question I'll ask you, if you have all of the numbers accurate and one number's not in alignment, what happens, guys?
it doesn't open. So the Lord brought that vision to me to let me know personally, and the ones in community, how much we need each other in their own personal walk with God to be aligned, because we do affect each other.
Yeah, we do.
And now if I'm not on my game, don't you sense the frequency? You know when things, it's just not, I mean, someone's having a bad time, it's like you sense it, and like it wants to try to dominate and control. And the enemy will feed that and feed that and feed
that.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Those, and like I listened to a panel talk, and it was about a lot of pastors out there that y'all probably know that are doing well in their churches and are like, and that's a lot of what you talk about tonight. To bring heaven down, there has to be unity. There has to be a hunger. There has to be all those things you mentioned tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, just in sometimes, you know, like we want to about just about this Bible study, about the declaration, and it's this tension. And sometimes the church is just like, instead of continuing the tension, it's like, no, okay, just make a choice and do it right now. It doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what intentions, just do it. And then
it's yeah, you're right on. And so that's why it says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? I really believe our inheritance is wrapped up in this dynamic. And that's kind of what I'll close with. I hope you guys are encouraged in this. We could have some more dialogue on us. In conclusion, Alina has something to say.
The Holy Spirit, we were driving from your dad's, from Nevada to Southern California. And the Holy Spirit was kind of, because we were dealing with different people, and I was going, God, what is going on? What is the deal? You know, our hearts are just there for people.
We love these
people.
We want
to help them and everything. And he said, Alina, people revert. I don't care if they're, you know, basically how he explained to me, Christian, come to him, to be a Christian for a year, to be a Christian for 50 years. He said, how the Holy Spirit was explaining it to me, people revert to their survival skills. Mm-hmm. Instead of trusting in the Holy Spirit, trusting in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the survival skill is, I want something, or I want you to do something. It's not happening, and I'm not trusting God in
it. I'm going to try to control you.
I'm going to control you. I'm going to make you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to pity, you know, because you're not doing that. Or I'm going to do something.
Survival skills.
Or I'm afraid. Or I'm going to use fear to control you. Or I'm going to use anger. I can get you to do something if I just get angry enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's our survival skills. That means we do not trust the Lord. We do not. He is not Lord. We are not trusting Him in that moment. We are making things happen in our own abilities and in our own survival skills. In our own, and we can even label it God in that moment, which is really scary. And it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with the lack of trust in Jesus being Lord in that moment. And we're making something happen. And we have to, and the Lord, because there's so many times that, you know, God takes us through seasons. Why does He take us through seasons and not gives us what we pray for? It's because He doesn't want us to be whiny children who have all this stuff, you know, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. He wants us to He wants to teach us how to trust Him. I mean, you know, you see a child that works for it and has not had a whole lot. He's very, he doesn't always get what he wants. There's more of a gratefulness when a child gets everything he wants at all times, never says no to. I mean, they become
entitled.
Awful and entitled. Right.
And it's very dangerous.
And God doesn't, and we wonder why. God, why aren't you answering? He's teaching us trust in Him. He's teaching us, it might be no, but it might be no for now because I'm teaching you character. Not because I don't want to give it to you. I want to give you everything. I'm wanting to teach you character right now, you know? And we have to learn to trust the Lord. We have to learn to trust the Holy Spirit. We've got to learn to wait and pray and believe and not be entitled, you know, spoiled children. You know, He does. He will give us. But sometimes He's given me things I prayed for, and I realized I really didn't want it. I was going, okay, back up. Whoa, forgive me, God. I shouldn't ask for that one.
Well, it's kind of like, it's transforming from glory to glory to glory. So, like, as you're going up, like you say, in Christ, you know, something comes up for the first time. It's like you say, it depends on what it is in each one of our lives, which is trial or tribulation. And it's a matter of surrendering to Him. Talking to Him, knowing the Word of God, first of all.
Yeah.
Understanding, getting to understand he's your father, and like you said, ultimately it's all always about trusting
yeah.
him. But, you know, you go through time sometimes, and it's like that's what those are all about. Like, mm-hmm. it's just patient journey. Is there develop your character and your faith? So yeah. you're lacking in that. But it's glory, 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 yeah. so that we continue to learn to trust him.
Yes.
Not just in asking him what we yeah. want, but it's a matter of, like, every challenge. But then that time you do that, you grow to the next level. Holy
yes.
Spirit takes you there so
yes.
that you can help the next person.
Yes.
Because you finally kind of get it.
Yeah, you finally kind of get it.
You get it in that area.
Bit.
Yeah, in that
yeah.
area, so then he's like, okay, just
yeah.
like the word says, he's a little in faith, and then he trusts you in other
yeah.
things. So it's a matter of.
Yeah.
Use that prayer of trust when the Lord told me a while
yeah.
back, I'm not going to let you circumvent trust. He's after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's after developing that in us, guys. I mean, that's honestly what you said, Alina, is I think spot on because it's like,
yeah.
yeah.
If we're really going through it, this is the bottom line. I mean, all of us need to go ahead and take note of this. It simply means, Lord, I don't trust you right now.
Right.
Does he condemn us? No.
No.
He invites us to come to him.
Yeah.
This is what repentance yeah. is. Let me just maybe give this freebie as well. Okay, one more commercial break.
Commercial break.
Again, I've learned a lot from my mentor, and I thank God for people in my life. There's wisdom in my life. I thank God for them.
Right.
He gave me something I kind of fleshed out further. He defined repentance. It's less about behavior and more about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a totally different shift on my thinking. You know, repent from this behavior. Well, let's go ahead and join a behavioral management class. It's not internal transformation. But when we're dealing with something and we repent, we change our mind, not in condemnation. We come crawl up in Daddy's lap and say, Dad, I'm just not trusting you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be this way, but I'm not gonna play a con on you. I'm not gonna be a liar. I'm gonna crawl right in the middle of this thing and I'm gonna have an honest conversation and repent.
It's more for us.
And usually
right.
yeah.
it is for us, but here's what's going on. There's two factors, you can read this in 2 Peter 1, that I believe is as saints that we deal with. It's less about a sin issue, which means missing the mark, and more about forgetting who we are in Christ and becoming blinded.
Right.
It's forgetfulness and blindness. So if we can just repent, crawl up in Dad's lap, a safe place, and have him work with us relationally. Lord, I don't know why I live in fear there. It's like, well, fear is bad. And what happens, what we focus on is empowered.
Right.
It really does. If you focus on the fear, it empowers it. If you focus on the rage, it empowers it. If you focus on the lust, it empowers it. If you focus on the disappointment, it empowers it. If you focus on the betrayal, it empowers it. What if we say, no, I'm going to focus on the Lord, repent, and say, God, these are real things I'm dealing with. But you're the giver of life. You're my maker. You're Abba, as we sang earlier. Does that kind of make sense? Is that a good little commercial right there for us?
Yeah.
So we just shift that in our thinking. So if everything is coming back to a relational dynamic,
right,
rather than punitive.
Yes.
Please get this. I'm bad because of my behavior. No, I forgot. I became blinded for that moment of knowing who I am in Christ. Now I come back into repentance and we have that conversation.
Right.
And I call it kingdom alignment.
Right.
Yeah, I tell everybody who goes through a hard time. When I start my hard times, I tell everybody personally, I tell them, keep talking to your father. Keep talking to your
That's
father.
That's perfect.
Because as you do, it's a simple thing, keep talking. Cry, yell, scream, do whatever, but keep talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will make you repent anyway.
Yes.
So that's one of the main things I tell people.
Exactly.
So the gospel is not some punitive things. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner that I am so distant from God because I'm so dirty.
It's not that.
And now it's like, you know, and then you have the great lawyer of the sky, Jesus Christ, come in and represent me and this vindictive, angry judge because he put, you know, the punishment on the lawyer, his son, you know, somehow now we're acquitted.
Right. Right.
Honestly, that is not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is a son left father's house and ended up in a pigsty. But he finally came to his senses and came home. So change our total paradigm on what preaching the gospel is. If we can handle people with that much dignity, it's not like you're such a fallen individual. No, your original design was to be in Father's house.
Right.
Instead of your original design is you're a filthy, rotten sinner, deserving.
Right. Yeah.
Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
So we call people back. That's what repentance is, like penthouse. Come back to the position that you were designed for. Repentance. So that's enough commercial breaks.
I have something real quick.
Yeah.
And 1 John 4-5, it was shown this to me today, was whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So if there's things we're messing up in, it's not that like, oh, we're a sinner, or like, oh, it's just like, that's a place where the love of God isn't perfected. You know, it's not like, oh, look at you, like, getting condemned. It's just like, Lord, I recognize that it's glory to glory that I'm growing, and this is a place where, like, you're perfected in me. I have the full perfection in me, but living it out, I'm just not perfected in that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Perfect me, father me, show me how to do this, because in this, I don't know what to do. So, like, and you do, so I thank you for perfecting me. I just thought that was really cool. It's just,
and what is the commandment?
Is love him and love your...
Remember when the lawyer came to him?
Yeah.
About, says, all the law and the prophets hinge on this. What was, right. What did he say? It's all summed up in this.
Love.
The Lord your God with all your
heart
and strength.
Are you listening?
I love your neighbor.
And the second's likened unto the first, love thy neighbor. So if we go there, that's what he's talking about right there. If we're loving God and loving people, we'll be maybe a little less abusive.
Yes. Yes.
A little less vindictive.
Less moody.
Less moody. You know, we'll be a little less prickly.
Or when
prickly.
We do, because, you know, there's things that we do, we just come back into alignment. It's like, woo, I forgot, like you're saying, I'm going to line back with you, Lord, right now.
So we all have a responsibility to come back in the kingdom alignment, saints. And I do call you that. I call you saints. Not ants. I call you saints. Amen. So we want to obey the command of God, which is to love Him and love people. And so what I'm saying in conclusion, the third conclusion, in closing, the third time.
And that's funny, but everybody that's in leader, they all do it. They're good. I'm just telling you the truth. They all do it.
In closing for the 15th time.
She's like, they all do it. They're good. I'm telling you the truth.
So in review, the four things we need to have in our calling, the four things, guys, as we're walking out this calling, the four things is what? Number one is? Humility.
Humility.
Number two is?
Meekness.
Number three is?
Unity.
Long suffering. Number four is? Bearing with each other in love. Now, these are the things that Paul says, being in jail, who's paying the price for giving us these words of the Exodus and the walk worthy of the calling. And the very next verse is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen? We need unity, saints. It's not going to be a clean room experience all the time. Amen? And that's all right. But if everybody in the community is on the same page, I want the Lord. What's vision? What's the vision of Christ? I said it earlier.
For everybody to become in unity, knowing His heart.
So it's fullness by conforming to Christ, right? That's an easy way of saying it. So it's fullness, the fullness of His nature coming through us by conformity. And I also throw transformation there. The mission is who? Who's the mission?
Jesus.
Well, we are.
Where are we at?
Well, it is Jesus because it's you. You're his body.
Yeah.
So if we actually, that's very, very good because we look each other like I'm looking at Jesus. You've done this at least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. That means everyone's on the board.
Yeah. I mean, that's Jesus' life and resurrection. He lifted up.
Yeah.
Resurrection.
So the mission is this.
And being perfected in love.
So vision means what? Vision is where we're what?
Going for it.
Going. So vision where we're going.
Yeah, that works.
And mission is what?
How where we want to get
it. How we get there. So always remember that. It's an easy way of remembering it. I'm being a teacher now. So vision's where we're going. Mission's how we get there. So it makes it easy, right? So we're going after his nature fully being perfected in us by a place. I'll say it to you this way. We're becoming who we already are. And the mission is all of us. Rubbing on each other, walking with each other, checking each other, rejoicing over each other, celebrating each other, rebuking each other, correcting each other, loving one another. And that is how the mission, where we're going, or how we get there is accomplished to where we're going. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.